Chapter 3. They were pushing forward next morning, in a chill fog and drizzle, when a new vexation was added to Miriam's distress. She had begun to relax a little, the watery gruel warm in her stomach, and her strong young body rested from a brief sleep. With the war paint washed off their faces, the Indians looked far less terrifying, and they had only troubled to bind the two men, feeling sure of the women and children. The whole party was walking single file now through a dense wood where only the Indians could recognize a trail. Miriam's captor walked ahead of her, and behind him little Susanna rode quiescent on the shoulders of another redskin. Polly's captor was out of sight. Curiously enough, the Indians had accepted the fact that Polly, unlike the cowed Sioux, was docile only so long as she was in sight of her mother. The moment the trees hid from her that familiar figure hunched on the back of old Scoggins, no threats could subdue her wails. The Indians had shown surprising patience with this behavior, and the brave who carried Polly waited stolidly in the trail whenever Susanna was forced to rest. Farther ahead in the fog, Sylvanus's eager voice now and then broke the silence. He had lost all fear of the Indians by now, and was not at all discouraged that his friendly prattle met a stony response. He seemed to sense that he could get away with more freedom than any of the others dared attempt. All at once Miriam's dress caught on something, and she fell forward, scraping her hands. Looking back, she saw the hateful young Indian just behind her, and once again she caught a glitter of derision in his black eyes. Plainly, he found her awkward stumble amusing. A few minutes later she tripped again, and this time she looked up just in time to see him spring back, grinning openly. The Indian ahead motioned her to her feet with an impatient gesture. "He stepped on my dress," Miriam flared. "He tried to make me fall." Her master shrugged and moved forward. Her cheeks hot, Miriam bunched her skirt into both hands and stumbled after him. With both hands full of skirt, however, there was no way to ward off the brambles and low-hanging branches that snapped back against her. Her captor gave no sign that he noticed, but presently he motioned her to stop, and whipping out his knife, he neatly sliced a spiral of green vine that swung from a tree and handed it to her with a rough gesture toward her skirt. Miriam stared at him. Could this be a sign of thoughtfulness?